What's up, man? You're on the podcast.
How's it going? It's been a whole week. It seems like so much longer.
Slightly larger distance between us than the last time we recorded when we were standing 5 feet away from one another. How was your flight back?
I got stuck by high winds at McCarran for a couple hours, which it's okay. Usually I'd be annoyed by a weather delay, but a couple years ago I was leaving Las Vegas on a plane, and they turned the plane around and were taxiing back to the terminal, and people were grumbling, and then we looked out the window and saw a porta potty getting blown down the runway. So the high winds in McCarran are no joke, and I won't complain about that. It was just kind of like ready to be home and not there, but at the same time, that's probably a good decision to stay where you shelter in place at that point.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about our impressions of Summer League, go through some of the bigger prospects. So how many days were you there for total?
Oh, geez. I think I 8 days of, let me see, Friday through Friday of games. So that's 8 days, yeah. 8 days of Summer League games.
That's a lot. Hopefully you weren't made so delirious by that you can't actually remember some of what you saw. So why don't we get right into it here? I mean, there are a lot of guys who I thought were really intriguing, some second-year guys that we didn't get a chance to see that much. Guys like Kyle Anderson, Doug McDermott, you know, obviously the rookies were always real interested to see how they look. And, you know, obviously the Orlando guys, too, who obviously neither of us were there, but I'm sure we get to see a little of them. So why don't we start with a guy who was named MVP of the Summer League and basically was the only major roster player for the Spurs who was on the team, Kyle Anderson. What do you think of him? I mean, after seeing him in Summer League, has your impression of him changed at all?
He is a guy who Summer League is absolutely impossible to evaluate. He's got the craftiest old man game ever because his nickname is Slow-Mo. And playing against people going 9,000 miles an hour trying to get noticed in Summer League, that's massively effective. How well, if at all, it translates to real NBA and kind of veteran craftiness and stuff like that, who knows? And second year guys, it's always kind of, it's sort of a binary thing. Either they dominate or you're worried, but them dominating doesn't mean they're going to be great. It just means they have a chance to be okay. So he obviously passed that test and was, you know, very good, but you know, a 6'9" point guardish guy playing under control is going to dominate Summer League.
Yeah, so to me, the evaluation process in Summer League, I want to hear your thoughts on this, is basically, you know, not so much necessarily that it trying to figure out just what their statistical performance is, even like what they're shooting from behind the arc, stuff like that. It's more just, number one, how are they succeeding? And then number two, is that something that actually is going to work in the NBA? So how was it that Anderson was succeeding in your eyes? I mean, what was he doing to pile up all his points?
Like you said, he's got that kind of slow, herky-jerky, sort of semi-awkward game that just really gets people off balance. And then he's used to not being the most athletic on the floor, so he varies the timing of his steps and kind of shoots from funny angles and stuff like that. And so that's we've obviously seen players who can make that effective. I mean, obviously on the Spurs, the analog is Boris Diaw, though is still, and even especially in his younger days, Diaw is a much more explosive athlete. But even Paul Pierce, you know, not to make the comparison, but that same kind of herky jerky, you know, not moving fast, just moving a speed that the defense isn't expecting him to move, and it's super hard to even describe. It's almost a feigned awkwardness that gets people off balance.
Yeah, so he was in the games that I saw. I didn't see all of his games, but I saw most of them, and then looked at film of some of his possessions, and It seems like he was handling the ball a lot, you know, really as the only guy on that team who was acting as a playmaker. So he had the ball in his hands a ton. He's very slow, as you mentioned, but he's, you know, got pretty good size for a small forward at 6'9", with I think about a 7'4" wingspan. But he can't jump at all, and he's pretty slow. I mean, to me, if he, and you know, his standstill jumper is okay. He's got a high release, but you know, not a guy who does a lot without the ball in his hands. Would you agree with that?
Yes, though he does.
On either end.
Yes, though he does make kind of intelligent movement off the ball and creates space and moves the ball quickly when it so he doesn't necessarily catch and hold the ball. There was several times where like he threw nice touch passes and stuff like that. But if he's, I think you're right in that if the ball isn't coming through him, he kind of loses some effectiveness. Absolutely.
So, and I guess, I mean, to me, the way he was kind of scoring was, you know, he's got that high release. He almost invariably was being guarded by smaller players. He wasn't really able to beat anyone off the dribble. And even in a lot of the games that I saw, I saw some of his less impressive games, including in Utah, where I had, you know, they put the media in great seating there. I was sitting right at midcourt, basically. And so, you know, even if he got a little advantage off the pick and roll initially, his man was usually able to make up the ground. And a lot of times he was kind of shooting over him, you know, from about 15 feet with that high release. You know, he can make some nice passes, but there are also a lot of times where he was just relying on craft. He would pump fake, and a lot of times the guys would go for it. You know, like the opposing coaches, you could hear him every time he had the ball, they'd just be screaming at the defender, stay down, stay down, stay down, stay down. And, you know, he still managed to get to the line a lot anyway. I think, you know, he doesn't quite have enough speed against real NBA defenders to where they're going to go for his fakes once it's really on the scouting report and you're not in sort of this hyperactive summer environment. So I my personal opinion, and you may disagree here, is that I still don't think he's going to be that successful overall in the NBA, especially when you consider, A, you know, is he good enough to have the ball in his hands all the time? And then if he's not, you know, what is he really doing off the ball? And then I think he's going to be a pretty big defensive liability at the three, and then not really athletic enough at the four to protect the basket or, you know, maybe rebound as well as you'd like at that position. But so what do you think of that? I mean, I know the statistical translations like him. Guys like Kevin Pelton really like him. I am a little less high on him than I think maybe a lot of people are.
I tend to agree with you. And, you know, the worry for him is it's kind of, you know, if he has just enough athleticism, speed, whatever, to play, then that gives kind of the savviness that allows him to have those statistical translations, that it allows that to take effect. But if he doesn't, then he maybe just can't be on the floor. And the problem with evaluating him at Summer League is it tells us nothing about that either way. You know, I suspect many of the same things you do, but maybe we'll have to see. Maybe a year in kind of the Spurs development program, and he'll have kind of figured out how to, you know, get to his spots on the floor and how to be a good team defender, if not a great on ball defender. So, you know, it's the kind of the lazy Spurs reasoning, but he plays for the Spurs and they like him. So I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt from us.
It behooves them also. I mean, just because someone reports that the Spurs really like him and he hasn't played at all, you know, it behooves them to talk him up as much as possible. You know, you always want to make your own assets on your team look better for trade purposes or whatever else. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I think to me, I don't see how he scores efficiently in the NBA. I mean, I think he'd have to improve his three-point shot a lot. And I don't see him being able to get all the way to the rim. And, maybe guys will go for it. Maybe I'm wrong. But if guys don't fall for his kind of pump fake, you know, when he picks the ball up, then, you know, I mean, it's mid-range jumpers. It's always going to be contested because of how slow he is. I'm not sure how he scores efficiently. And then also, when he does this sort of fake and it doesn't work, then you're basically wasting 5 seconds of the possession, right? Because nobody's really open. You haven't created an advantage. You pump faked. You picked up your dribble. Now you basically have to find an outlet. It's not going to be anything going towards the basket, and now you're kind of resetting, you know, with a guy who's usually going to be catching the ball going away from the hoop when he's kind of done that fake jumper gambit and it hasn't worked.
I don't disagree with anything you just said. I think that's the more likely way it plays out. I mean, just and again, it's only the fact that he, you know, his raw numbers and translations and stuff are so good, and you know, it's a 6'9" kind of unique guy. Maybe he's just such a kind of a black swan kind of player that, despite all of these things that indicate not being able to work, maybe it does this time. So
if you were just a little more athletic,
just a little bit more,
I feel like he could like hold up okay at the four. I'd feel a lot better about him. But just I think he's just too slow at the three. All right, why don't we move on to another guy who I think, you know, there are a lot of differing opinions on, and that's Doug McDermott out of Chicago. You know, what did you see? Let's just talk about only this summer league at this point. What did you see from him, and what does that bode for his potential future being a cog in the rotation in Chicago?
To be honest, a lot of the same things you said about Anderson, even though they do it in stylistically very different ways. I mean, McDermott is kind of very kind of classically fundamentally solid kind of pump fake jab step one dribble pull up kind of stuff, and maybe some, you know, Dirk step fadeaways or whatever, but the same kind of worries you have about, you know, not being able to create separation, not being fast enough to guard threes, not being big enough to guard fours, and kind of where he fits in. He had some, you know, some good games where he kind of took over, but he took over shooting contested jump shots over people. And if he makes those, great. But does he do enough well to warrant being on the floor if those are the shots he's getting? He can make them some days, but like on the aggregate, that doesn't strike me as a especially positive contributor.
Well, these are my thoughts on him. I mean, number one, I'm going to just assume that he's at least going to shoot in the high 30s from three. Because, you know, he was a great shooter in college. Granted, he struggled. He didn't shoot that many threes and didn't shoot them at a high rate. But, you know, I mean, that's what he was drafted to do. By all accounts, it's a good shooter. I think over the long run, that will figure itself out. And if it doesn't, you know, he's going to be pretty close to unplayable. So, I mean, I think we're just going to make that assumption. It's not a large enough sample size to say, you know, his looks are probably more contested in summer league as the main guy than they might be playing off of guys like Rose and Butler and Gasol. So, you know, go ahead and assume that he can shoot, you know, real well on threes at a pretty decent volume. I'm so torn by him because they're offensively, I actually disagree with you a little bit. I was very impressed with his athleticism, with his ability to finish around the basket. He has a real nice knack for that kind of stuff. He is extremely intelligent offensively most of the time. Like, he works really hard, makes great cuts. He sprints the floor. He's great at getting down floor. He gets a lot of stuff just by beating his guy in transition. So, you know, he's got this level of intelligence. But then on the other hand, defensively, doesn't get any blocks or steals. And he's kind of, you know, every once in a while offensively, he'll kind of like spaz out and just, like, throw the ball away. Like, one time he just threw the ball away in the backcourt on an inbounds for no reason. He'll just kind of freak himself out and miss layups or, you know, try to pressure guys up for no real reason, not execute the scheme because he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off defensively. So I really, you know, he's got a great knack for scoring. And, you know, I didn't think the long twos thing was as bad as you did. And I thought he was able to get his game around the basket actually really impressed me.
If I can break in there, I mean, that's,
yeah, please.
He's a big, strong kid and, you know, big, strong kid under control. It's almost a little bit similar to Anderson in that in summer league, maybe some of that works, but then you add the, you know, the 3 inches and 30 pounds and not biting on pump fakes and staying in good position of NBA quality big men defenders. And suddenly, does he finish so well? Whatever craftiness he has, you know, I wonder. And again, these are things that could work. It's just I would bet the other way on it.
Yeah,
from what I've seen.
I certainly understand. I mean, he has sort of an Antoine Jameson-esque ability around the rim to just get his shot off quickly, know where he is. I think I will say this: they tried him at you know, as a stretch four for a lot of the time. And even against, like, going against the other team's bench, which is usually when they did it, he looked terrible. Like, he can't get a defensive rebound. I mean, it's kind of telling because he has the exact same size, height, and wingspan that I do, 6'6 and 6'9. And I'll tell you what, I won't be playing NBA power forward anytime soon. And, you know, so that, I mean, he doesn't block any shots. You know, he's not, whenever he was in at the four, like, the other team was getting plenty of offensive rebounds. I mean, maybe if you have him in there with Butler, he's athletic enough to kind of be more of the four, but, you know, I really don't think that that's something that's going to be viable. Like, he's going to have to just guard his position at the three. So I don't know. I don't know what to think of him. You know, I mean, there are some things that really stand out that really impress me. And then there are these other sort of inexplicable things that just don't ever really seem to work.
Sure. And it's almost, you know, I'm remembering back to Wally Szczerbiak, which actually seems like a, you know, at risk of making the ethnic only comparisons, but still, you know, Wally was a guy who before he kind of broke down, good shooter, big strong kid, just athletic enough to make it work. And then when that started to slip, he was done. And and you know, I think that Wally had kind of had a little more at the top end early in his career than even McDermott does. And in a less competitive era. So I'm not sanguine about the future of, you know, if he's a high 30% shooter, then he can come in as a designated shooter, but that's a 15-minute a game guy. That's not a you know, a front end rotation piece. You know what I mean?
Well, all right. So real quickly here, because we probably got to pick up the pace on these. I know you got about 30 minutes left here. Is he a solid rotation player for the Bulls next year or no?
I don't think so. I especially think because just they have better options. I would actually almost rather see them play, and well, I'm guessing we'll get to him next. I would almost rather them force feed those minutes to Bobby Portis.
Yeah. So and for me, I still don't know. I mean, I think it's really 50-50. You know, I do find some things that I really like and respect about his game, but then there are just these other things, like just the complete lack of steals and blocks is just so weird to me, like, you know, especially for a guy who's ostensibly kind of has this intelligence. But, yeah, so Portis, I take it then that you were impressed with him.
I was. He's you know, maybe slightly without a position, a small ball four, slightly underskilled three.
No, he's definitely a big man. Yeah. There's no way he plays. I mean, he's a legit 6'10" too.
Is so. He really? He didn't seem quite that big.
He just can't jump at all.
Okay.
That's why. I mean, he actually has like pretty good length, and he looks like a guy who like could be really athletic. And then you see him go down the lane, and you expect him to just yak it, and he just kind of pick rolls instead. But you know, no, I think he'll be fine as a power player, and hopefully he could. He's only came out after his sophomore year, so. Hopefully he can improve his athleticism in an NBA program a little bit.
And he's kind of wiry, but he is strong. I just remember like one of the first games I saw them play, they played against Minnesota's team. And so he was guarding Towns, and Towns were trying to back him down and just bouncing off. And just, he doesn't look like a guy who would be just huge, but he is strong. And so I like that. Seemed to have really good feel. Caught the ball, shot confidently in rhythm. I mean, obviously, you can read too much into guys making shots
runs,
or not.
Runs the floor really hard, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, very solid is what I would say about him in kind of an energy four who can space the floor kind of way.
Yeah, he shot, I mean, that first game, which I think we're sitting next to each other for that one against Minnesota, was kind of a revelation for me. I didn't think that he was going to be able to come in and hit the NBA three the way he was, and he shot pretty well on those. You know, granted, that's such a small sample size that you can't really say whether he's going to be able to do that in real games, especially because they already have really, you know, four very established front court options there ahead of him already, and they might want to try and play small more as well. So I wouldn't expect him to get that much time unless there are injuries, which, you know, probably will befall that front court.
Sure.
Given some of the guys there and Taj Gibson coming back from surgery. But yeah, I mean, if he could shoot 35% on threes, you know, that really opens up his game. You know, he's got pretty quick feet, not that much of a shot blocker, but he's got that high release on the jumper, showed some nice post game. Good job doing cuts. So, yeah, I mean, I think certainly he looked like he was underdrafted at 22. And I think, you know, one of the things he said was, the quote was, people say I don't do anything well, like running the floor is what I do, and I do that extremely well. And he kind of proved that in that Minnesota game. So I think I'd be very encouraged about him. I mean, the big shock though was just the fact that he was able to shoot those NBA threes with such confidence.
And I think you say such confidence and such ease. You know, they go in, they don't. It did not look like a shot he was straining to shoot, which I think is something you see reasonably often, especially with kind of big guys trying to stretch their range. It looks like almost like a, you know, a full body jackknife chuck. And it was a very natural kind of catch, easy up and shoot for him, which I think is whether they win it or not, it's a natural looking shot for him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's kind of got this long behind the head release, but you know, it also makes it kind of hard to block too, and it looks smooth for him, as you said. All right, so Denver, obviously, I think the biggest guy that everyone was really excited about was Emmanuel Mudiay, including Denver. You know, they just moved on from Ty Lawson, and for those wondering where the analysis of that trade is, Danny and I will probably get to that later in the week. But Mudiay, I mean, I take it you didn't know much about his game beforehand. What stood out to you in how he played in the summer league?
His pace of play, control of the game, and just his physical presence, I think, were the three things I would say. And even on the downside, he was kind of reputed to be a non-shooter. I think he's at this point a bad shooter rather than a non-shooter, and I think that's a pretty critical difference. I mean, if he's a 32% three-point shooter who will shoot it when you kick it out to him wide open, that's not great, but that's better than, you know, a guy you can just, you know, not come outside the elbow on, because he won't shoot, or if he does, he's going to hit it at like 20 some percent, like a, you know, an Andre Miller or a Rajon Rondo. So I think that's a even that is on the downside, it's not that bad. Now, his free throw shooting was pretty bad, which is a worry, but you know, who knows about that.
Yeah, that is, to me, was always the biggest concern. I mean, to me, what was most impressive about him, and I had an inkling of this because I had watched a lot of film of him in China, at least what was available, but he was looked great working in a spread pick and roll. He's able to find guys on the weak side, you know, either in the corner or, you know, up at the opposite side of the arc for threes. You know, really had a great sense of where his guys were, even though, you know, it wasn't people that he'd played with at all. He was able to make some shots in the lane, overpower guys. His finishing at the rim looked a little improved from what I saw in China. He was able to bounce off guys, get to the foul line. I do still worry that while he certainly is willing to take those NBA threes, you know, he's that kind of an Elfrid Payton level guy, that I don't know how well that's going to hold up, especially when you consider that really, you know, he's shot in the high 50s in his free throws. So that's the ultimate red flag. You know, if he can improve that aspect of his game and the shooting as well, get to where he's competent from three, if guys go under the screen, then you could have a guy maybe who at the top level would be a top five point guard in the league. If the shooting doesn't really work out, then you're kind of looking at, you know, more of like a, you know, top 15 type of guy, perhaps, you know, if that. But, you know, certainly very encouraging from him, just what he was able to do with his vision. I think a lot of people didn't understand how good of a passer and pick and roll operator he actually is.
Yeah, and just to finish on that, the almost part of his physicality that really allowed him to work really well in that is, he, you know, in like a soccer player or a hockey player taking a shot, you know, you kind of see the wind up, and a guy who can get a good thing off with like no wind up or back lift. That was kind of how he was making his cross court passes. He wasn't making these big like overhead two hand, you know, overhead or chest passes. He's just snapping the ball like kind of from his chest and hitting guys right in the shooting pocket. And so it makes him, you know, the before the defense can even react to the fact that he's passing, the ball is kind of on time, on target, and hitting shooters in stride. It was, you know, for a couple of the times I watched him, I was kind of sitting with some scouts, and there's a lot of head shaking and like, oh boy, what's going on? Just watching him.
Yeah, same for me too. Yeah. Nikola Jokic is another guy. We don't want to spend quite as much time on him, but has been a darling of statistical translations. Came over. He's actually signed to a 4-year deal now at, you know, pretty close to the minimum. So if he works out, that's going to, and I think he's 22. So if he works out, that might be another coup for Denver and their European scouting. But what were your impressions of him? I assume that was really the first that you had seen of him.
Good feel for the game. I mean, I think he worked really well with Moutier, kind of enabled some of their play by, Moutier would hit him with passes on kind of a pick and pop, and he would make a good decision right away, kind of keep the ball moving. Wonder if his kind of where he is on kind of the skill and athleticism kind of intersection relative to NBA bigs. You know, he's not a superstar either. And does he have a combination of enough of both to give them enough? Again, they have time. It's he's young, as you say. Certainly has the size. Just a matter of if that other stuff can come together enough to really make him more than kind of an intriguing kind of multi-talented prospect.
Yeah, he is really skilled. You know, I think he's going to be able to shoot the NBA three right away. His post-ups, he struggled a little bit with NBA athleticism. I think some of the moves that he was able to get away with in Europe, you saw him kind of make a turn and go up for a little hook shot or floater that got blocked. I think he'll get a little better feel for that as time goes on. But really where he's going to be exposed is in pick and roll defense and defensively, because he's not really an NBA level athlete at this point in from either a kind of body composition standpoint or from, you know, a leaping ability standpoint. He's a little bit better lateral quickness, but I know, you know, in talking to some of the Denver people, they're really excited to get him into their strength program and see what kind of gains he can make, because he actually weighs about 250, which is more than you think that he would, but he's really like pretty doughy and undefined. So I, you know, maybe he can make some strides there. But to me, I think he'll always be able to just be a good offensive player in the NBA simply by pick and popping from three, which he'll be able to do. It's just a question of whether he can hold up defensively. I think ultimately he'll top out as, you know, maybe a bench center, you know, 20-minute a game guy who can't quite defend well enough to start, but who, you know, can be effective with the second unit. What do you think about that?
That's probably a good projection if that's what he ends up. I mean, the number they have him on, that's you're perfectly fine. I mean, it's 4 years, 5.5. Is that what they have him signed for total?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if you have a rotation big man, you know, for, you know, $1.75 million a year or thereabouts, and if that's my math is close enough, I'm a little off, but you, especially in this environment, you take that and you call that a win. So if that's what they get, then that's perfectly good for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that also if they switch on him in the pick and roll, he has a technically sound post game and he can be really effective backing guys down on switches. Like, you're not going to be able to just switch a small forward onto him. Like, he'll abuse someone like that.
And it seems like he's a decent enough passer that, you know, that he can, when that gets double teamed, he can make the right play and get the ball moving again. So he didn't look out of place. I'll say that. It's just he might be, you know, a year, 18 months away from really being an NBA level contributor.
All right, let's get to now some of the big rookies. Start with the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell, largely a disappointing summer league for him. I didn't see the last game in which he played a little better. Did you see that game, the one where he had like 17 points?
I did, although that was kind of towards the part of the week where the eyes are glazed over. And you know, it's with him, it seemed like if he's, you know, making kind of those, he seemed to just be making a few more of those kind of floating jump shots that I wasn't wild about for the first couple of days. And you know, if he can make that shot consistently, then he'll be a very good player. But if he shoots it kind of how normal people shoot it, then that's tougher.
I mean, he's really slow, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, before the thing, and kind of about halftime of the first game, I was, you know, floating kind of a rich man's Kendall Marshall comparison, and I don't I didn't really see much to move me off of that general opinion, you know. And
he is 6'5",
yeah,
and he's got a much better jump shot. But you know, I understand what you're saying, at least just from like a passing standpoint. He's not really able to create any separation off the dribble at all. I mean, if he's one-on-one with a guy in the late clock, you know, I don't expect him to be able to get a good look. It's certainly not at this point. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, but obviously the passing vision is, you know, everything we've been led to believe. The comparison I'd make, though, is like obviously the comparisons between him and Moutier is kind of the top rookie point guards. And, you know, he can throw guys open, whereas Moutier can get guys open with his ability off the dribble. And I think as you kind of go up the ladder of competition in the NBA, Moutier's skill set has a much higher probability of being a difference maker at kind of a top level.
Yeah, and now we should say with Russell, you know, I think all of the concerns that I had about him going in, whether his shooting was really elite or just kind of good, whether it's his ability to get to the rim, whether it's his ability to finish at the rim, whether it's his ability to go right at all, whether it's his intensity on defense, whether it's quickness, all those things I thought, you know, really manifested themselves. But I do still think, you know, if his shooting can be for real, like his college shooting, and he could become a 40% NBA three-point shooter, that could really open up his game. You know, I'm not sure whether he gets there or not. I certainly don't think that they will be taking the ball out of the hands of Kobe Bryant or even Jordan Clarkson to put it in his hands the way he looked. But I do think he'll also look better in a structured system with better spacing, you know, not going against, you know, guys who are super intense and trying to get into him the way they do in summer league. And, you know, just knowing his teammates a little better and where they're going to be. I think all of that will help him to some degree. But I'm concerned. I will say that. I mean, I had some concerns. And even when he was drafted, I don't think I would have taken him that early if it were me. And I continue to feel that way based on how he performed thoroughly.
Yeah, I think the way you put it, he didn't answer any of the concerns you have against him. And, it, you know, we've seen some guys really struggle their first year of summer league and become good players. So it's not a death sentence by any means. It's just he's not there yet. But, you know, plenty of guys have been indifferent and kind of gotten there.
How about Julius Randle? I'm willing to give him a little bit more of a pass because this was really his first kind of competitive action since coming back from a broken leg. And then he also had foot surgery to fix that screw in his foot, which was initially for a surgery he had in high school. And he was on a minutes limit. I think a lot of people were not particularly impressed with him. I see some nice pop from him, and I think his jumper is going to come around. But, you know, obviously there are some concerns as well. He didn't rebound all that well, you know, doesn't finish with his right hand particularly well, I assume he's going to be pretty bad on defense as well. But what were your thoughts on him?
I mean, you talked about having concerns about Russell coming in. I kind of had many of those about Randle in terms of his ability to finish, his ability to shoot out to beyond about 17 feet, his ability to defend, and his ability to rebound at the NBA level. And kind of like you with Russell, he didn't answer any of my questions in a positive way. I think I was predisposed to not be wild about him, and he didn't do anything to change my mind. I'll say that.
I will say this. Roy Hibbert is just about the absolute worst possible guy he could be playing with offensively this year, because where he's at his best is kind of, you know, I think he'll look good in pick and roll on short rolls trying to operate, but Hibbert isn't someone who can finish dump offs. He's just going to be around the rim. Randle, I don't think, is a guy who's going to be able to go through, you know, if he beats his own guy off the dribble, which I think he could do reasonably well. He's got pretty good quickness and strength. But then if Hibbert's guy is just waiting for him at the rim, he's not going to be able to score over that guy. I think he can benefit, Randle can, from a lot more space, and that's exactly what he's not going to have. Defensively, Hibbert will probably help him. Yeah. And I do think also that Randle actually has a little bit quicker feet than people give him credit for. defensively if he's going to switch out. I think, you know, obviously he's going to be a rookie. He's going to be terrible defensively. You know, we know that. But I think in time, I don't see that there's any reason from a physical tool standpoint, other than just not having a huge wingspan, that he can't at least, like, move his feet pretty well at the power forward position, if not block shots and such.
The biggest thing that is, to me, kind of is standing in his way is his finishing around the rim seems substandard. He's not particularly clever in that he doesn't use his right hand, and surprisingly, like, not super forceful a lot of the time. Also, a lot of his kind of, and maybe this is, you know, if I'm being generous, it's the coming back from an injury and that kind of stuff. But even he would beat his guy off the dribble, and then his finish would be kind of a lefty flip instead of kind of a forceful attack of the basket. And, you know, that's, I don't think that's going to get it done at a high enough rate to be, to really be a top level player.
I think he might not have the biggest hands, you know, he's not going to turn it over and dunk on you necessarily. You know, unless he really gets ahead of steam up. So I feel you on that, but I'm willing to give him a little bit of a pass just given the fact that he missed essentially the entire year. It was good to see that, like, his, you know, he didn't get fat or anything during that period. I thought his body looked pretty good. So we'll see how he ends up looking to start the year. I don't feel any better or worse about him than I did before this summer league, although maybe I'm grading too much on a curve.
Sure.
Just a couple of words on Larry Nance. I actually was impressed by him. Just because he's just always around the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and we'll keep it short on him. I don't think, you know, he's not going to be a superstar or anything, but I thought, like, just the guy plays hard. You know, he just, every loose ball, every rebound, he'd get his nose in there, you know? And I think that is an aspect that the Lakers have really missed over the last few years. Again, I don't think he's going to get a ton of time this year. He's going to be a rookie, but that I appreciated what he brought to the table, and he seemed like a guy who's not going to put up a ton of stats, but might be kind of a good plus minus guy. I didn't really see much out of Anthony Brown. How about Upshaw? What did you see of him?
Raw, very, very, very raw, very large, but you know, a guy, keep him around for a little bit, see if he can develop kind of some offensive touch, some post moves. Obviously, with the wingspan and the size, there's defensive potential there. It's just a matter of, again, reading the game and stuff like that. And Summer League isn't the best environment to really to take note of that, I guess, either way. But there's definitely some nice plays. I mean, I think he blocked a jump hook by Towns at one point, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And so obviously there's some physical tools there. So, and just to finish up on Nance, I kind of agree with you. I mean, where they picked him, if they get kind of almost a Kurt Rambis type of, like, energy fan favorite-y kind of guy, then it's okay. And that seemed to, I mean, obviously with the number of Larry chants he was getting from the extensive Laker contingent at Thomas and Mack. He looks like a guy who's not going to be a star, but will be a guy who's on a team for, you know, a bunch of years, even if he's not necessarily a super meaningful on-the-court contributor.
Upshaw, quickly on him, I mean, I felt like the shot blocking is there. He didn't seem to really be in game shape either from a composition or, like, a win standpoint. Pretty slow, I felt like. I think he doesn't really look like anyone who can do anything other than just maybe shoot a turnaround jumper in the post. And that doesn't really have, like, a lot of spring to him. Not the sort of nimble, like, pick and roll finisher. I mean, he sort of looks like he might be like a Roy Hibbert light offensively, sure, which is not what you want to be offensively, but, you know, I mean, for being undrafted, he's got a little potential. Fine, sign him up. Yeah. All right, Minnesota. Karl Towns didn't have, like, the most efficient overall summer league. What were your thoughts on what he did, and, you know, both for what you think he might be this year, but also obviously his long-term potential as well?
I think, first of all, is just from a game feel standpoint, just it's there. Like, we talk so much leading up to the draft about, like, you know, measurables and sorry, neighbor dogs. it's the neighbor dog sled team.
Sure there's like a moose out there or something.
Probably is.
There's no way you're going to stop him from
walking. The big factor is, can he play? And you can watch Towns for 5 minutes, and he will answer that in the affirmative. Just his kind of feel for, you know, passing the ball, especially great hands, good feet, not the quickest, I guess, not the most explosive, but just good agility without necessarily being super explosive. I think that offensively they didn't do him any favors by just running him into the post every time, and also kind of sharing the floor with Adrian Payne kind of cramped him a little bit, I think. He didn't show me anything. While not being like spectacular, he didn't show me anything to convince me that he was anything other than the number one overall pick.
He threw some unbelievable passes out of the post. I mean, he had this one just like awesome fake where he just like held the ball by his waist, like lifted his hand over his head like he was going to throw a fake hook pass. Nobody bit on it. And then he just threw the pass again. It was awesome. Like, and it got a guy a wide open lane. I mean, he was throwing some real value-added passes that I really enjoyed. He also showed the ability to shoot some turnaround jumpers in the post. I mean, I think eventually, given his natural shooting touch, he could kind of evolve into having a LaMarcus Aldridge type of post-up game, but even as a center. I was disappointed in his floor game. I didn't think he rebounded the way I would have liked. His shot blocking kind of came and went. I think he regressed in some respects to kind of being a little bit more of the soft skill guy, which is great. I mean, I love seeing those skills. That's what makes him so special. But he wasn't really out-toughing guys and using his size a ton the way he did at Kentucky that Calipari kind of forced him to do. So I think, you know, he needs to not end up like losing track of the ability to just bludgeon smaller guys because he does have that huge body in the post. But, you know, he showed great touch on his jump hooks. I was just really impressed by his skill level, even if, you know, he didn't ultimately shoot amazingly well. And he also got up for some really good shot blocks. So nothing, I think I totally agree with you. You know, nothing, no reason for concern at all. Totally on track with him. How about the other Minnesota guys? I mean, Levine, I think we saw exactly what we would have expected out of him, right?
I mean,
don't need to spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, the comparison is, I mean, 2 second-year guards with putting up kind of similar numbers, Levine and Clarkson from the Lakers. And Clarkson was doing it in, like, NBA-like ways, you know, splitting double teams in the pick and roll, getting to the basket, finishing layups, whereas Levine was doing, it's summer league and I'm a better athlete than you, kind of pull up fading jump shots that happen to go in sometimes.
Hey, he played exactly the way he played in the regular season.
Yeah.
And he just was able to be a little more efficient either because it was, you know, a smaller sample size or he was able to just jump over guys a little bit more and slightly better look.
Yeah. He's not there yet. I'll say that. Adrian Payne is a guy who I'm kind of a guy who I liked going into the draft, who I'm kind of ready to take the L on.
Why is that? What did you like about him and what hasn't really
well, I mean, to summarize, was the tool set. I mean, his shooting ability and athleticism plus Tom Izzo kind of led me to believe some things about kind of his ability to read the game and floor sense and stuff like that. And that's just nil. Like, feel for the game and stuff like that is just it's almost non-existent, and I think in a way.
So give the good people an example of like the type of thing you're talking about.
I mean, there's one play where he like closes out on Randall and actually I think closed out on Randall's left hand, which, you know, good because he's a lefty, and then jumped over to his right hand and gave up baseline and got dunked on. By a guy who's not a great finisher. There's just times where like the ball just sticks. You know, he'd get they'd run like a pick and pop and he'd get the ball at the elbow and he'd like pass fake twice and then take 4 back down dribbles and shoot at like a 9-foot jump hook that was pretty hopeless. And you know, at the same time, still flashing just the physical tools that make you like, if only, but just, the reading of the game was just either slow or just non-existent, to the point where, you know, everything I said about Towns earlier in terms of, you know, making those micro decisions and just being able to play, everything Towns was doing right on those, Payne was doing wrong. And without, like, you know, breaking down film, I'm not sure how more much more specific than that I can be. It's just I was disappointed.
I mean, for what it's worth, I agree with you. I wasn't questioning you. But, you know, for our listeners, yeah, I mean, you know, whether it's just rotations. But to build on what you said, the two things that are disappointing me with him, number one, you know, he wasn't really playing harder than anybody. And he had kind of this issue with his lungs, you know, coming out of school where there's speculation he might not be able to play that. Amen. That was one. Another one is that, like, he is athletic, but it takes him forever to load up on his jump, you know, so he's not like a quick jumper. And then that translates over to his jumper, where he'll receive the ball and then take such a deep squat before jumping that it takes him so long to get the shot off. He always ends up being contested, even if he was wide open when he got the ball. If he were just to kind of sit down and be able to catch the ball and then rise up and kind of take about half the time out of that release, then maybe he would get some more open looks and could start hitting a shot. Because, I mean, maybe you could see him potentially being a valuable player someday, or at least a reasonable rotation guy, if he could start hitting a good number of his threes. But if he's taking so long to get his shot off, that's not really a reasonable possibility.
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of a micro illustration of just those little things. Like, instead of being shot ready, being kind of straight up and then having to go down and back up again to shoot, it just all those little kind of quarter second things just weren't right.
All right, so we'll make this the last guy. We haven't even come close to getting it, everybody. I know you got to go. So, yeah, maybe we can bring you back, you know, later in the week or next week. I mean, we've got all summer to talk about.
Plenty of time.
But, yeah, so then the last guy for Minnesota, I think I remember you saying you didn't think Tyus Jones was going to be that good, but you're actually more impressed with him than you thought you would be.
Yeah, he was able to he seemed almost for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's the hometown kid thing, which is always, you know, a worrisome thing. But also, he seemed like a guy who rose a little bit in the draft because of an NCAA tournament performance, and that's always kind of a red flag, because it's like vastly overrating a tiny, well-watched sample. But he was able to get where he wanted on the floor. Nice pace to his game again. Kind of similar to Moutier a lot of times at Summer League with young guards. You see him going, you know, 9 million miles an hour, not able to make plays. And he was kind of, you know, under control, but not under control slow, just under control. I'm going at the speed I need to go, and then when I need to go faster, I'll go faster. And so that was he's maybe a little bit bigger than I thought he was going to be also. So, you know,
he's got that 6'5" wingspan.
Yeah, I don't think he's a future star. It's hard to see him as a starting quality point guard, but as far as like a guy who's a solid rotation piece, I mean, he's closer to that than I was expecting to see.
How do you think he compared athletically? Like, did he look like a below-average athlete to you, or did he kind of just look like, you know, pretty much a normal athlete type of guy out there?
He did not look unathletic. He didn't look athletic. He looked kind of right in the middle.
Yeah. He didn't look like D'Angelo Russell or like Kyle Anderson out there. He looked like kind of just a normal point guard, I thought.
Yeah. And, you know, and with you know, good point guard skills, so that made him, you know, pretty effective in a summer league setting. And that's, you know, you wonder how that translates to the real deal, but it's better than it not working in summer league.
Yeah. To me, what's going to be the big issue for him is his shooting from NBA three. I mean, in college, he shot this great percentage from the free throw line, which is a positive indicator. He actually shot pretty well, almost 40% on threes, but not a ton of volume from the college line and didn't really come out of high school with a rep as a shooter. So if he can get to where he's hitting the NBA three consistently at, you know, a 37-38% rate, which might be possible, and we don't know, but I think it's not out of the realm of possibility, then you can see him kind of being more of a lower end starter. If he doesn't get there, I think he'll be more of kind of a backup type of guy most of his career. But I think someone who's going to have a long NBA career just due to his smarts, good pick and roll operator, passer, got a really nice floater game, which we didn't get a chance to see that much of. So I thought, you know, he played about how I expected. I liked him. The statistical translations largely liked him as well. So anyway, all right. Anything you want to plug before you go?
Let me see. I wrote a couple things on Island Calculus last week. One of the big things they had was they were messing around with an experiment in hustle stats at Summer League, which I thought was a neat experiment that was much more about kind of the process of coming up with a new stat or a new suite of stats than anything the stats themselves actually showed, though, you know. Some things came out were interesting in sort of confirming conventional wisdoms. Teams that were getting more deflected passes on defense tended to be winning games, which is kind of, you know, old-time coachy stuff. And then I also just I discovered something that was maybe slightly concerning about LaMarcus Aldridge's fit in San Antonio, in that for a lot of guys who kind of swing between the four and the five, their rim protection is better at the five than at the four. Top of that list, the guys who are better at the five and the four is Greg Monroe, so that's a good sign for Milwaukee. But the one guy who like commonly swung between the two, basically saw no change, was Aldridge. And that's given that San Antonio kind of has no centers with any kind of NBA experience aside from Duncan anymore. That's a concern because Duncan's not going to play more than 30 minutes a game and probably not more than about 65, 70 games. So that was worrisome. So that was a piece I wrote on Island Calculus also.
All right. Well, make sure to check those out. Thanks for coming on. We will definitely, I mean, we really probably only got through a third of the teams as it turned out, because it was our normal verbose conversation, but so be it. We got plenty of time to remedy that. Later on, you can follow Seth on Twitter at Seth Partnow, PARTNOW. I'm Nate Duncan, NBA. We should be back later this week, Danny and I, talking about some of the transactions in the usual fashion. And we will talk to you all next time. Thanks a lot for listening.